Welcome back to the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for allowing us to be with you. Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Jeff Ott is a Washington State Master Beekeeper and the producer and co-host of Beekeeping Today podcast. He has been interested and passionate about bees even since he was a small child. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Well, thank you, Holly. Thanks, Joey. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your day not only to educate Holly and myself, but all of our listeners. And I'll start with, it's a two-part question. One, how did you get into beekeeping? And two, what, you are a master beekeeper. What is the classifications? What does that mean?
Sure. Well, how I got started in beekeeping started a long time ago. I grew up in a family of four boys, and we were always into trouble and critters of some sort. So, really the fascination with ants in elementary school turned into fascination with honeybees in junior high. And my dad helped me build a observation beehive, and we set it up in my bedroom and put it on my desk. And, we ran a tube out the window and, had my first beehive back then. So ever since then, I've had a fond interest in honeybees and have kept after it one way or the other. It's been a long time pursuit. Master beekeeper, boy, that's a master beekeeper is a title that's a certification that's provided by many states, extension agencies, or state universities. And there are some private organizations that also provide that specialized training and certification to become a master beekeeper.
So to become a master beekeeper, like I know for master canners, a lot of states only allow so many. Is it kind of like the master gardener program where anybody could become a master beekeeper, or do they limit it, or does it not matter?
The numbers are not limited. Each state or a certifying organization have their own certification requirements. So often it's a period of time that you have to be in beekeeping. In some organizations, you have to go progress through a entry-level apprentice, a journeyman, then master beekeeper. So that's, you know, 3 or 4 years right there. Or some organizations, there's perhaps the biggest most prestigious master certifying program is probably EAS, or Eastern Apicultural Society. It's run out of the East, out of the East Coast, Massachusetts, I believe. I could be wrong on that. Sorry. But there is not necessarily a apprentice, journeyman, master, but it is very strenuous, requiring, practical knowledge and also hands-on testing. So, it's different for the certifying organization.
And then once you choose to whether become a master beekeeper or do it as a hobby, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're in a municipality, you just can't throw a hive in the backyard. There's some things in which you have to make sure it's okay with the place that you live before you start doing stuff like that.
Yes, in today's world, it's a good idea to make sure that your community understand the community laws and zoning requirements, or even for some beekeepers, the homeowners associations may have pest and nuisance type restrictions that the beekeeper would need to be aware of. Of course, there are many beekeepers who keep their bees in colonies on tops of buildings and on their apartment patios. So it's just because you just need to look into where you live and make sure you're you won't get in trouble.
Fantastic. So, you know, tell us more about the Beekeeping Today podcast. If our listeners tune in, what can they expect to hear about? Give us more information there.
Sure. Yeah. Beekeeping Today podcast. I started back in 2016. With a friend of mine. He was the former editor, or he was at the time editor of Bee Culture Magazine. It's produced in Medina, Ohio, by the AI Root Company, a longstanding bee supply company and candles. I Kim and I had been friends, and I've written for him since the late 80s and 90s. And one time I was visiting him in 2016, and he said, well, Jeff, when are you going to start writing for me again? And I said, what about a podcast? And Kim looked at me, and he said, well, what's a podcast? So it started from there, and we've, since then we've produced over 270-some podcasts. We have over 1.4 million downloads. It comes out weekly on Mondays, and each show, well, each month we have about 30,000 downloads. So it's probably the number one beekeeping podcast on Apple Podcasts that I can tell. Each show runs about 50 minutes long, and each week we bring a different guest, talking about something in the, industry of beekeeping, and we hear from leading researchers, authors, and other people in beekeeping about their experience and what they're doing in beekeeping to help, the backyard beekeeper, primarily the hobbyist, who's our audience.
Well, what are some common misconceptions about pollinators that people are like, well, I know this is to be true, but then you're going to tell us that what they know is not accurate?
Well, the pollinators, you know, the honeybees is just one of many, many, many pollinators out there. And it is, it has a lot of press right now, or it's important in agriculture around the world because it is such a generalist. It's easily transportable, and there's many reasons why the honeybee is really the workhorse of the pollinator industry. But for all pollinators, pollinators around the world is they're all local. And pollinators aren't one size fits all when it comes to habitat. Some are tied to a single flower or species that they need specifically to survive. And while most people are very familiar with the nesting habits and the highly evolved social behavior of honeybees, most bee species are solitary and live in tunnels or stems of plants and bushes, and they're pretty much loners. So perhaps the pollinators is that there's pollinators come in all form and factors, everything from a bat to an insect to birds. So pollinators is a big, wide area.
Yeah. So you know, if you can't keep bees per se, what are some other ways people can help the pollinator population?
Yeah. So if you can't keep bees, yeah, there's lots you can do for all pollinators, not just honeybees. If you want a garden, you want to have a garden, some of the best plants you can plant for all pollinators are herbs. Now, most of them flower at some point, and letting them flower are great for the different pollinators, from butterflies to bees to flies. Check with a local extension agency or your state university. They will be able to advise homeowners for the plants that are proper for their area and their region that are attractive to pollinators. On top of that, you can participate in No Mow May, and that is a way of remembering in May. And in many locations, the ground cover comes up, the dandelions come up. Just let those come up. Those are very important early spring flowers for honeybees and other pollinators, for the pollen and for the success of the season. So enabling and providing that space for honeybees and other pollinators is really important. Maybe mow the front yard green so it looks good from the street, but in the back, provide a lot of pollinator space, let it grow wild, or plant a pollinator garden.
Well, and you said the target word, everybody, a lot of people don't like dandelions, and they do everything they can in order to get dandelions out of their yard, but yet dandelion seeds can fly 5 miles. And I read a study the other day that they've been believed to have traveled from the United States over to Europe in the air. So just because you kill everything out of your yard, they're going to fly over and reseed in your yard anyway. So leave the dandelions. They're there for like 2.5 weeks, and just tolerate them.
Yeah, they're really important source. I mean, if you really wanted to get into it, you can pick the young shoots of the leaves of the dandelion, and they're a really good source of iron and other vitamins right in your front yard. I think we've become too, well, I don't want to go down this hole, but we've become too focused on a spotless green yard, and right. I think that's difficult.
Right. Well, we're always learning things all the time. What is something unexpected that you have learned recently about either beekeeping or the pollinator in general?
Well, the thing that fascinates me is the social dynamics of the honeybees, and that you have the individual bee, but you have the social, the interaction of all those 60,000 bees in a colony or 10,000 bees in a colony, that they all work together to a purpose of surviving the year, surviving the season, collecting pollen and honey. And the single most exciting thing that has come out that I've just recently learned and stated as a fact, that honeybees are one of the few animals besides humans, is the only other animal besides a human who can communicate a location, an exact spot to another of their species without drawing a map, without leaving a trail, without leaving a chemical trail to that location. And they do that through a specific dance in the dark, in the hive, that's called a waggle dance. And they dance and they can communicate the distance from the hive, the direction, and they can lead their sisters. And of course, all honeybees are all female that do all the work, lead their sisters to that exact location, whether it be nectar, pollen, water, or even a new nesting site when they're swarming. It's amazing.
Interesting. And we can go on the internet and look at videos of beehives. Not every single bee has a job, knows what to do, and none of them are standing around waiting to figure out what the next thing to do is.
Yeah, pretty much. So there are some, you know, if you had an observation hive, you would see some just sitting around, in a hive. They don't know why. Maybe they're holding they serve a purpose. Mm-hmm. Many times they're providing air circulation with inside the hive. They're fanning their wings. So it's everyone's doing something to help everybody else out.
That's definitely amazing. So we really appreciate having you on the show today, Jeff. How can people find out more about you and your podcast?
Sure. We have a website, of course. It's www.beekeepingtodaypodcast.com. And if somebody wants to start getting into beekeeping, we have a special series of podcasts, and you can go to our website to find that, or just go to howtogetstartedinbeekeeping.com, and that'll take you right to our site. There's a lot of information out there. And we also have two other podcasts, honeybeeobscura.com, and that's specific management techniques about honeybees. And then 2millionblossoms.com. I produce that for Dr. Kirsten Trainer. And it's about all pollinators, not just honeybees. So I suggest to your listeners that you visit all three sites.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered and the education which you've shared with us, and Holly, myself, and all of our listeners. We thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure to join you.
Absolutely.